I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome to Top Stories. I am Andy Zaltzman, and today's top story comes from May 2010. Britain was reaching new heights of democracy in that heroic month as we recorded Bugle issue 113, entitled Countdown to Vote Again, and a political blooper from Prime Minister Gordon Brown gave myself and John Oliver plenty to analyse.
Top story this week, Countdown to Vote Again. British democracy is back from the dead, Andy, that is for sure. It's punched its way out of the grave like Uma Thurman in Kill Bill, and is now wandering the streets more powerful than ever, or at least more powerful than any time in the last 10 years. Where once the fear was that turnout could be around 50%, now, surely, we can dare to dream that 2 in 3 people may actually vote. And I'll tell you what we have to thank for this, Andy. The same thing we have to thank for game shows and omelette whisk infomercials, television. Who'd have thought the TV debates would have shaken British democracy to its extremely dusty foundations? I think what's become clear from across the pond, Andy, is that Clegg has gained the most. Cameron's lost some of the mathematical inevitability that he had coming into the campaign, largely due to making the mistake of occasionally saying things he actually believes. And Brown hasn't really lost anything, as he didn't really have anything to lose in the first place. It's like a man sitting in an empty house. There's only so much a burglary can hurt him.
Yeah, well, the final Prime Ministerial debate took place last night, Thursday, as we record here, on Friday. Just 6 days away from Vote Again, and the entire future of Britain, John, the nation, the business, the brand, was on the line as the public sat down in front of their TV sets in eager anticipation before realising they were watching the wrong channel and switching over to watch Britain's Stupidest Teacher or Shoot Me, I'm a Nincompoop or My Aunt Thinks Hitler Was a Horse or whatever else was on before checking the news headlines at 10 o'clock to find out who'd won, apparently, and therefore who deserves to own Britain. And frankly, John, I think the reaction from most people is that the novelty has now worn off after three debates. Yeah, it was pretty dull last night. Democracy was fun for the first debate, John. It was okay for the second, and it's now a bit passé by the third. And, you know, I'm more than averagely tolerant of democracy. But this was like having concentrated bullshit milkshake blasted into your face at point-blank range. I lasted about 11 minutes of what had been billed as one of the most significant moments in our democratic history before I started thinking, what was wrong with the old system of just voting for who your father told you to vote for? It never did Britain any harm.
But the whole point, Andy, of having three debates is that you're supposed to learn in PR terms as you go. So, you know, you look down the camera, you try and smile more, you try and engage with the viewer. Now, by the third debate, at least one of them should have realised the key to winning televised elections is the T-shirt cannon. It just takes one of them, Andy, just to pull it out and say to the assembled crowd, who wants a free T-shirt? Everyone will go crazy, just start unloading T-shirts into the crowd. Everyone's going to think, look at that, he gives out T-shirts. I want to... You can have it on your bus, just an open-top bus, just shooting T-shirts around key marginal constituencies. I'm telling you, it'll work. People well, love T-shirts.
Yeah, but it was one of these 76 rules that they had governing this debate. No T-shirt cannons, no nut grabs.
What about T-shirt machine guns?
No, that is definitely out.
Right.
That is definitely out. And no cross-dressing. All of those three, not allowed. In summary, though, for those of you who didn't see it, all three leaders are basically in favour of getting the economy moving, which is good, I guess.
Right.
So it looks like that crisis is going to be averted, whoever wins. They don't really like each other, that much came across. And they're also not afraid of repeating stuff they've said over and over again, word for word, until the nation just gives in and votes. And Cameron has been criticised for crapping on kind of nebulously about change a bit too much in this campaign. And to be fair, he did rein himself in a bit last night. Change was only the 11th word that he said. So he held it back quite a lot longer than usual.
Wow.
And he also pulled off a clever subliminal trick to emphasise the need for change by doing a rapid off-screen costume change between each question. Clever. Although he didn't really notice it because he'd changed into 12 versions of the same suit and tie that he'd been wearing at the start. So the change was barely perceptible. Did that reveal something, John? No, because it didn't happen. But if it had happened, it might have revealed something. And that's the most important thing to remember.
Now, Gordon Brown has had an undeniably bad week, culminating in him being overheard on a live microphone calling an old lady a bigot, having just had a conversation with her that suggested nothing of the sort. Now, calling a member of the electorate, a lifelong Labour voter, no less, a bigot, is probably even worse than when John Prescott actually punched a voter in the face. It's even worse than that. The thing is that in isolation, probably isn't that terrible. It's just that it plays into a widely held belief that Gordon Brown hates people. Now, if he doesn't hate them, he certainly has an active dislike for them. He'd have been a great 19th century politician, Andy, when you could govern from a wood-panelled room with a fireplace in it and you never had to touch any peasants.
That's right. Well, he has been handicapped in this campaign by things like the invention of television and the invention of photography and the development of human speech. And they've all kind of conspired against him, and he's struggled to convey his very important message of, yes, we're f***ed, but we'll be even more f***ed if you vote for these losers. And he was pretty unlucky with this bigot comment, John, because someone forgot to switch his microphone off. Mm-hmm. He was probably just winding down, a bit annoyed after the last 50-odd years of his life. And it just came out. And the press were all over it, John, because I don't think, it wasn't that important. You know, it was the press, but the press were all over it, like human skin on a cannibal's birthday cake. And why was this, John? Why were the press so obsessed with it? I'll tell you why. Because it was a faux pas caused by someone forgetting to switch their microphone off. And I'm sure all politicians say that in what they think is the privacy of their own massive limousine. But the press loved it because it meant they could basically not do their f***ing job for a couple of days and just crap on about this comment. But Brown should have dealt with it better. He should have had more balls. He should have said, yes, I did call her a bigot, and I stand by that. She is a bigot. And I meant that as a compliment. Britain was built on the powers of bigotry. It's what drove our empire. It's part of our shared birthright in this country. Groundless and ill-informed prejudice that clouds the harsh realities of reality. And I appeal to all bigots of all bigoty persuasions to unite behind me and the Labour Party. And we will represent each of your bigotries to the best of our ability.
Oh, God, Andy, I'm tearing up.
But he didn't say that. What he actually said was, oh, shitbags, that is all I need. But he didn't say that out loud, but he did say it with his face.
Gordon Brown actually spent 45 minutes in the house of Mrs. Duffy, the lady he called a bigot, and I would really love to hear those tapes, Andy. I really think he was probably just trying to convince her to say something racist, because all he needed was for her to actually prove him right. I bet he laid it on pretty thick. Please, please, Mrs. Duffy, it can be about the Chinese, just something. If you're really a Labour supporter, you do this for me, please. I need this. I'm in a bad way. Or he may have spent 30 of those 45 minutes upstairs in her bathroom trying to draw swastikas on things. Oh, what's this, Mrs. Duffy? A swastika engraved in your soap? Pretty bigoty behaviour, don't you think? You just did that, Gordon. You've got soap under your fingernails. Oh, please say something racist. I'm this is.
I think what actually happened though was that she realised she was in a position of power. She started that day as just an ordinary, ordinary voter,
yeah,
who no one in the public eye had ever heard of. By the end of the day, she had the Prime Minister basically held hostage in her living room until he'd completed his penitence. And I think basically she, you know, she looked like she probably likes reality television. I think she was making him sing songs.
Yeah.
He was basically having to go through her favourite, all the classic Osmond songs from the 70s, maybe a bit of Boney M. Basically, just until she was happy that he really meant sorry.
Am I forgiven yet? Not yet, Gordon. I think we'll have another rendition of Puppy Love. And they called it Puppy Love. I don't want to.
Thank you for listening to the top story from May 2010. If you want to hear the top story from now, and indeed all the other stories as well, then listen to the current episode of The Bugle, available on the internet.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.